Well, hey there, welcome to The Journey of Hope. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We have Josh Schmoody on the show today. He's going to be talking to us about some time that he did in Texas Department of Criminal Justice, but mostly coming out of that and how he has picked himself up, faced the adversity, and turned himself around. We're going to be talking with Josh Schmoody. And I want to say hello to everybody. I've been gone for a while. Had bypass surgery, and everything's going great. I feel great. Took about a year off from the podcast, and here we are, ready to go. So let's get after it right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. How's it going? I hadn't heard from anybody in a while. Remember, you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Josh has done a little bit of time, man. He's going to talk to us about some of the ways that he overcame the adversity that he ran into when he was coming out of incarceration. Josh, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Hey, Rodney, how are you?
Doing great. Now, I'm assuming that you were in TDC, correct?
Yes. I did time. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask how much time you did.
I did 2 years. So I did about my first 6 months at Garza, or 3 months at Garza, 6 months at Lopez. And then, thank God, they sent me to a trustee camp in Goree, which that was night and day compared to where I was at. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to a FI6 program.
Mm-hmm. All that sounds pretty familiar. I'm a TDC graduate myself, so, and I'm down here, I'm in Houston as well, so I'm a little bit familiar with the area that you're talking about. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? It's kind of interesting. Tell us, it's not kind of interesting, it's very interesting. Tell us how you ended up in trouble.
Okay, so I'm from Houston. I'm born and raised in Houston, so that's my city. And back in 2008, I was driving from Houston to Corpus Christi. And when you're driving to that city from Houston, you go into these really small towns. You go into these small towns, El Campo, Edna, and I got pulled over in one of those small towns, and that kind of led to what happened. So basically, I was smoking weed, and I don't hide it. I'm a weed smoker. I've been a weed smoker for 20-plus years. But anyway, I just smoked some weed. And I got pulled over in a town that is called Edna, that is notorious for throwing, you know, the maximum sentences at drug crimes. Mm-hmm. So the DA there, his name's Bobby Bell. I don't know if he's still the DA there or not, probably. But he's been the DA there for 28 years. And basically, according to this article, people can check it out. It's called Crackpot Crackdown. They just Google it. But it's a 12-page expose in the Austin Chronicle all about this town, unbeknownst to me. But anyway, I got pulled over in this town, and I smelled like marijuana, of course. My car smelled like weed, but there was no marijuana. So I let the cops search. They searched the car, searched me, searched the passenger, didn't find anything, and then proceeded to arrest me for possession of marijuana. And I was like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? There is no marijuana. I mean, you could get me for a DUI or something. But you're arresting me for possession when there is nothing, and you know it. Well, not knowing where I was at, I should have just kept my mouth shut and taken the possession charge and just got the hell out of there. And had I known what I know now, that's exactly what I would have done. But this was, you know, over 10 years ago. I was in my mid-20s, and, you know, I'm still learning every day, but I was definitely a lot, you know, I wasn't hip to what was going on in this town. So, you know, I basically let the judge know when I got bonded out the next morning that I was going to retain my own attorney. And sure enough, letting them know I was going to fight it, they proceeded to indict me for a third-degree felony for tampering with physical evidence. And that's a lot more serious, you know, than a Class B misdemeanor. So now you're looking at 2 to 10. Mm-hmm. And in this town, they're going to give you the maximum, especially if you take it to trial. But the DA basically came at me, Bobby Bell, and wanted me to plead to 7 years deferred adjudication. And this is the first time I had no adult record. I mean, I had a juvenile charge when I was 16, but my adult record was clean. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I looked at him like he was out of his mind. Like, 7 years? Are you serious? Mm-hmm. It's just in Houston, it doesn't happen like that in Houston, man. I mean, you might have your odds and ends cases, but for the most part, man, they're not trying to throw 10 years at people for mm-hmm. petty marijuana charges. I mean, it's right. absurd. But anyway, this is the only action they got going on in this town. So, you know, they indicted me for the third degree felony, and he wanted to plead me to 7. So I said, you know what, I might as well just roll the dice and take it to trial. That was a big mistake. I probably should have just taken the 7 and got the hell out of there. But I took it to trial, and I lost, of course, at the trial, and they gave me the full sentence, mm-hmm. but suspended it. And gave me probation, and me being as hard-headed as I am, I ran on probation because I just thought it was ridiculous. And they caught up with me like 3.5 years later and gave me the full 10. So I ended up doing 2 years on that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my story. So they gave me 10 years for eating a marijuana joint, which is something people can look at themselves. I mean, they think it sounds ridiculous, but this is actually what happened. Okay, just type in Schmoody versus Texas, Joshua Schmoody versus Texas, and they can read all about my marijuana eating antics.
Well, I'll tell you, Josh.
But yeah, that was it, man. I mean, that's my story.
There aren't like, you know, a bazillion people that listen to this podcast, but the few that do, they can relate to your story. I tell you, they can relate. I mean, and I can too. So you did appeal, and how did that go?
Yeah, I mean, the appeal, that was a joke. I mean, it's the way the whole trial was set up, and I mean, it's done now. I'm over it. I'm moving on with my life. But the mm-hmm. way the whole thing was set up was a complete joke. Mm-hmm. The state subpoenaed every witness they wanted to subpoena. You know, they got that. Any witness we wanted to subpoena, they didn't explicitly deny it, but they basically – They did their what they do to where I couldn't subpoena these two jailers. You know, they did not want me subpoenaing the jailers because mm-hmm. that's when the threat was made by the cops. And if I fought the charge, I'd get a felony, mm-hmm. yada, 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 which that's illegal. They didn't want that coming out at trial. So I couldn't subpoena the jailers that were there at the time because the jailers heard what the cops told me when I was in booking. Mm-hmm. But the state was able to subpoena everybody that they wanted, including my assistant principal from when I was 16. So during the sentencing phase of the trial, after they found me guilty, I had it was the possession of a Xanax pill when I was 16 years old. I mean, it's just, this stuff is ridiculous, Rodney. Mm-hmm. This is why we got a huge prison industrial complex, man. Mm-hmm. We're throwing people in prison for just stupid crap, man. That, I mean, this is absurd, man. This is a complete waste of taxpayer money, personally. But anyway,
it's You make
they
a good point.
My assistant principal, and I'll never forget what the DA told the jury. The DA, Bobby Bell, I mean, this is straight out of a Clint Eastwood Western. I mean, this guy wears a cowboy hat, calls himself Billy Bob. I mean, you know, this is Bobby Bell. You don't mess with Bobby Bell. But anyway, he told the jury, he said, Mr. Schmoody did the wrong thing all parents fear. Selling dope to kids, it's cute. And I was like, you know what, dude, it's over, bro. The jury has an impression of me. I'm a drug-dealing thug to them, you know what I'm saying? They don't know me.
Right.
They don't know me, but you know what I'm saying? This is the impression that the state can give. Mm-hmm. You know, and unbeknownst to them, I'm in college, writing a book, which has now been published. I mean, I'm doing stuff with my life, but mm-hmm. it's like they wanted to just own in on that drug issue, like, because of that, you must be a horrible person. So it's just crazy, man. So that was really the trial. And the Court of Appeals said A-okay on everything that happened there. And we're a country of case law. So I think I really want people to understand when they mess over one of us, when they screw one of us, then that affects everybody. Because they're setting legal precedent so they can do it to other people, you know, and I think that's the bigger issue here.
Well, but, I think too, Josh, that, you know, being slapped so hard for something so stupid adds to the adversity, you know, it's the frustration that you tried to do something about it, but there just was nowhere to go. And,
right.
You know, so that frustration when you're coming out of prison is still on your shoulders, I think, because I experienced it. And so I know, I guess you came out through the walls, right? You left through the walls.
Yeah.
And when you left the walls immediately after your incarceration, tell us a little bit about what that was like, because that's what people are interested in to listen. How, you know, did you have a place to live? Did you have a job? How did that all work out? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So when I got out, I went to the halfway house, which is, I'm trying to think of the name. It's in Houston. It's a great halfway house. But I went to a halfway house in Houston. The name escapes me. But I was out for 2 weeks, and that was when the hurricane hit a couple years ago. So the hurricane hit and Houston like completely flooded, and TDC came back in TDC buses and picked us up and sent us all over Texas. So they ended up relocating me to Odessa, to a halfway house out there. And that was just horrible, man, because Houston, we got what's called a three quarters house. So when you get out of the halfway house, there's actually a three quarters house that you can live in, and you share it with like two or three other people, but you're not paying that much. You're paying like $80 a week or a month. I mean, it's really cheap. It's very affordable and you can stay there as long as you like until you can get on your feet, which I really liked that. And they didn't have that in Odessa. So I went from a place that had a lot of resources, if you just want to use them, they're there, Houston, to Odessa, which had literally no resources. So that was night and day, but that's pretty much what happened to me. I got out and got sent to the halfway house, and then from there I got sent to the Odessa halfway house and had to do the 3 months there, and then came back to Houston.
Wow. And so when you eventually made your way back this way, you know, we're able to come up with this idea of writing a book. I know the book is, we haven't talked much about the book, but you have written a book, and it's kind of different than what we're talking about now, that subject area. And we'll get to it in just a second. But so when did you write the book? How did you get the idea to do that? Tell us about that.
Well, I wrote the book before I went to prison. The book was published in 2014, which thankfully I'm glad that it was, because I had royalties waiting for me when I got out of prison, and that really helped. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had anything. I mean, they give you like $50. They give you two payments of $50, and that's it. So they don't really give you that much when you get out. But I did have some royalties waiting for me, and what gave me the idea for the book, believe it or not, was this whole incident. I'm a certified reverse speech analyst, which is reverse speech deals with a set of theories that was developed by an Australian researcher named David John Oates. And anybody who's interested in it can go to his website, reversespeech.com, and hear examples and learn more about it. But long story short, I got a certification through him in 2009 and started learning how to use this technology. And I did a session on myself 6 months before this happened. It was in January of 2008, just asking myself where I saw myself in the next 6 months. And with reverse speech, whatever you talk about forward, your reversals will be about. This is the theory of complementarity. So what David Oates discovered is that human communication is bi-level. So it's both forwards and backwards. And when we record a conversation and play it backwards, we all generate what's called reversals, or sentences in reverse, basically, that come from the unconscious mind, and they'll complement whatever we're saying forward. So this kind of goes back to the 70s and 80s when Led Zeppelin records were being played backwards and they were finding hidden messages. Well, David Oates discovered that this wasn't just in music, it was in everyday human communication. So that was kind of how he based his whole theories. But anyway, I did a session on myself, asking myself where I saw myself in the next 6 months goal-wise. And one of the reversals I got was Summer of Shame, Let's Miss It. I was like, Summer of Shame, Let's Miss It. Well, sure enough, in May of 2008 is when all this happened. And it's like my whole life got completely just flipped upside down. And it was a shameful summer, for real. And looking back on that reversal, I was like, wow, it predicted this was going to happen 6 months before it actually happened. So what if you could actually, in a controlled setting, you know, put forth a hypothesis, test it, and see if it could do this in a more controlled experimental setting. And that's pretty much how I got the idea to write that book. The book's name, if people want to check it out, is Reverse Speech in Theory and Practice. The subtitle is How to Use Your Unconscious Mind to Predict the Outcome of Future Events. So really what it teaches anyone how to do is how to get certain types of reversals when they structure a conversation. And these reversals can, in effect, predict the outcome of future events. I use it, I conduct an experiment on four subjects that relates to a horse race, but you can pretty much use this technology to get information on any subject you wish. So it kind of operates on the premise that we only use a very small percentage of our brain consciously. The rest is unconscious, and that unconscious part of our brain contains knowledge that we don't consciously know we have. So that was through this tragedy, I guess, that's what really gave me the inspiration to write the book. So it's kind of funny how life works, but I think it uses these sorts of events in our life to get us on the path where we're supposed to be going anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. How in the world did you get turned on to something like this? It's a little bit different.
I knew about the backward messages in music. And it was one night back in 2007, I was just listening to different songs in reverse and just kind of seeing some of the different messages. Because, I mean, there's definitely very clear messages. Some of them aren't as clear, but some of them are really clear and audible. And that's when I ran into David Oates' website, reversespeech.com. And I was like, what the heck is this? So I kind of started reading And then I paid for the first part of his class, his certification, just to kind of see if it was real. And the way his courses are set up, you're kind of proving his theories through your own homework. So this is not like a man, like a cult leader saying, this is what I say, believe what I'm telling you. This is more like, here's my theories, here's your homework, I want you to do this, this, and this, and basically test these theories for yourself and come to your own conclusions. And that was what I did. And after the first month, I was like, wow, there's something here, because everybody has what's called aha moments in reverse speech. And that's when you realize that this is not just you projecting into the gibberish or a figment of your imagination. Like, there's something really here. And my first aha experience with reverse speech was my keys. I had lost my keys. And in the reverse speech community, it's well known that your unconscious can help you find them, basically. So I recorded a session on myself backtracking what I did with the keys last. So I was like, you know, I had the keys here. I think I may have put them here, but I didn't see them. I just kind of need to get this information from the unconscious. And so because of that theory of complementarity, whatever I'm talking about forwards, I'm going to get reversals about. So I played it backwards, and one of the reversals was the nail is looking at it. And I was like, the nail is looking at it. That's weird. So I walked into my closet, and there was a little ledge in my closet, and the tip of a nail was pointed directly at my keys. And I was like, whoa, you know, like how, if I'm projecting into the gibberish, like if this is a figment of my imagination, how am I getting information that I don't consciously, there's no way I consciously knew that. That's why I was recording the session. I didn't know where I put them. So it's like I've had a lot of experiences like that since then.
Wow.
But that's kind of what turned me on at first, was this, the backward messages in music. And David really took it to a whole nother level.
Freaky, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. We all do it. That's the insane part, is we all do it. And what's really interesting, we have this like ideal of perfection, right? You know, we have this ideal of right and wrong, right? But what's so interesting with reverse speech is that it always tells the truth. So if you're lying forwards, your reversals are correcting your lie. And so what's happening actually is we're correcting ourselves. There's this compensatory action of the unconscious that basically corrects the lies that we're saying forward. So for example, if me and you are talking and you ask me if I went to the store yesterday and I didn't, and I said, yeah, man, I went to the store, and you played it backwards, you would get a reversal like, you know, I'm so full of S-H-I-T, or, you know, it didn't happen, or I'm a liar. So you would get reversals that actually contradict or correct the lie that's being stated forwards.
Okay, so Josh, if people are interested in that sort of thing, how do they find your book?
Oh yeah, it's Reverse Speech in Theory and Practice. If they just Google it, it's available everywhere: Amazon, okay. Barnes and Noble.
Cool. It's been fun talking to you. We're interested in your book, which goes down a different path sort of than the reason we had you on the show, which was to talk about, you know, how you got past that crap that was thrown into your life, you know. And it sounds like to me that you're a good model for people that want to move on and just get past the crap that happened. And, you know,
one thing I was going to say, anybody who's interested, if they want to publish a book and they want to do it on their own, I have a publishing company, mylhp.com, M-Y-L as in Larry, H as in Henry, P as in Paul.com, or they can go to Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y, and just type in expanded distribution. I have a bunch of free courses, completely free, that they can use that'll teach them how to do this themselves. So it's knowledge that will empower them.
I'm sure a lot of people have a story out there that they would like to tell. Josh, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Appreciate it. Take care.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Lyrics from Walsh, but stole the music from Tom T. Hall. Ain't got to live in no sticks to like a country music mix. Hey man, send me some mail. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Thank Josh Schmudy for being on the show today, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.